We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
Amen. You may be seated. Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. Rains came. Anybody have any rains this week? I'm not talking about wet rain. I'm talking about life rain. Anybody? Trials, struggles, things happen. It comes in all different shapes and sizes. It comes, I promise you. If you had a great week, guess what? Next week's coming. You're going to get it. It comes. But the beauty of it is we're not alone. We do not face this life alone. You do not face this life alone. I pray that you're building it on Jesus. I pray that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and that He is Lord, and stuff happens. Yes, life's winds and waves come. The roller coaster of life happens, but you are secure in your faith. That you're secure knowing that God's going to cause all this to work together for the good. He knows what He's doing. Listen, church, God knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing in your life. This morning, last several weeks, I've got to see the church in action. Go with me over. We're going to read a lot probably today. I got a lot of things, a lot of points I want to make. I'm just going to let the Word of God go with me over to Ephesians chapter 4. The church has been, Chapel Hill Baptist Church in general, but the church in the world, yes, but I'm speaking about this church, you guys here, have been used by God in some absolutely amazing ways over the last bunch of weeks, over the summer, since the first of the year. God uses this church. We're blessed to be a part of this church. We're blessed to be a part of the Kingdom Church. To be a part of the Kingdom Church, you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, then you're part of the body. You're part of the family. Romans 11, read that this afternoon. Not now, read that this afternoon, talking about how we, you and I, were grafted in. You and I were brought into the family. We didn't do anything to deserve it. Jesus came to His own, and His own received Him not, remember. He came to His very own and He cried, He wept when He looked out over the city and He said, "Oh Jerusalem, if you'd have only known what had come by you." But they missed it, and because they missed it, we Gentiles, you and I are Gentiles. We're the ones, remember, the message, the gospel message has reached all the way over here. You and I are the uttermost parts. We are those that they were going to. I send you out as sheep into the wilderness. That's us. We're out there. They found us. And you and I have been grafted in. We're a part of the most amazing thing. This morning, that's basically it. I just said it. I just gave it to you. We're a part of the most amazing thing. We're a part of the church. You're a part of the body of Christ. If you're a Christian, and I'm speaking to Christians, and if you're not a Christian, let me go ahead and tell you. If you're not a Christian, this sermon is not for you. It's not. We're going to talk about the church. But if you're not a Christian, you're not part of the church. You can be in this building. You can have sang, you could have worshiped, you could have done all of that stuff, but if you're not a Christian, the most dreadful words any human could ever hear is, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But you can be. Reminded yesterday, "Whosoever, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life." Hey, you do not have to live in rebellion. What we're about to talk about can be yours. But you got to surrender. You got to quit running. You've got to quit making excuses. You've got to quit living as God of your own life and let Him be God of your life. You got to let go and let God take over. As a body of Christ, we are the body of Christ. What an absolutely amazing thought that as a believer, we have been grafted into the kingdom. Ephesians chapter 4. Begin in verse 7. Look at verse 7. "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Every one of us in this room, every one of us without exception, have been gifted in certain ways. And you're going to see we've all been put in this thing for a purpose. You're not accidentally a part of the body. You're not accidentally in the kingdom. You're not just randomly to come and to, listen, you're not just saved to get heaven. You're not just saved to live happily ever after down here on this earth to just take care of you and yours. No, you're saved for a purpose, and that purpose is a kingdom, big, big kingdom picture, and it happens, it's worked out, it's fleshed out here inside the church. Look at verse 11. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. We're having an ordination service this afternoon for Aiden. Aiden's going to be another one of these. He's been called out. God is going to use him in an amazing way. Aiden Stevenson, that you guys watched grow up. Many of you taught him as a little kid. You watched him grow up here amongst you, is going to go out and do amazing things for the kingdom. God has a purpose in him. He's going to go places there's no telling where he's going to go. God's going to use him in an amazing way, biblically, and he gave some as pastors and teachers. Why? Why is he there? What is the purpose? Look at here. For the equipping of the saints. What is the purpose? How does this whole thing kind of work? Well, he gives leaders to equip the saints for the work of service. Equip the saints to go do the work. It's not a we do all the work. No, it's we equip the saints to go out, because you go, I don't go where you go. I don't know who you know. Aiden won't know who he knows. Casey don't know who you know. But we equip the saints to go out and do the work to the building up of the body until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. When we become Christians, we are justified. We are grafted in. We are made heirs and sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we begin a journey. That journey of sanctification, God begins rooting out the trash and conforming you and I to the image of his Son. Verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind and doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Guys, when we were kids, we thought like kids. We'll see that in a minute. When we were kids, we thought like kids. We were easily coaxed. We were easily misled. As a Christian, you should be able to watch a sermon. You should be able to cut a television on. You should be able to sit in the room and be like, no, that's not right. Those little radars. You ever sitting and listening to something and your little radars are going off? You're like, hold on a second. That's not what the Word of God says. Praise God. When you were a kid, you're like, whatever. When you were a kid, here's what happens. When you were a kid, whatever an adult said was true. But as you became older, as you started maturing, you started saying, wait a second. That uncle was weird. That uncle just didn't know what he was talking about. When he was a kid, he was a wise old man. Same thing inside a church. We were growing. You and I are becoming. We're being made into the image of Christ. We are not who we used to be. We do not fall to the schemes of the devil that we used to get ticed with and tripped up with. We are able, by the grace of God and the Spirit of God that indwells us, he's given us eyes and wisdom to be able to see clearly, to be able to see truth. Praise God, he's been able. We are able to do that because of what he's done in us from, look at this, 15, but speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into him. There's no way I'm going to go on and tell you, there's no way I'm going to get through all these little stickies if I do this. But it's so important, church. It's so absolutely important that you and I realize what this is saying. We're to grow up in all aspects. Our secret life cannot be just secret. This is not the only part of your life that God sees. God sees that secret stuff too. God sees them secret jokes. God sees them dirty thoughts. You know, we're like, God told me something. You know what? You've also, in that same messed up brain, had some other thoughts too. You know what I'm saying? That's messed up there. That's some really messed up stuff. With that same brain, we tear some folks up. With that same brain, no, it may not listen. No, it may not come out of our mouth, but God sees how we're just grinding them. He wants us to grow up in all aspects. Check your thoughts. Check your walk. Check your mouth. Check what you say, what you think, what you watch, what you hear. Check it. Check who you run with. Check your circle. Check it. We're to grow up in all aspects. We're to put away the childish stuff. We're to grow up, every single one of us. That's who we are as believers when we're grafted in and we're brought into the body of Christ. We're made new. We're made different. We're not better than, we're different. We're not better than anybody else. We're just redeemed. We're not better than anybody else. We're saved. You're not better than anybody else. You just belong to Christ. He saved you and he made you his very own. From whom? Verse 16. But speaking of the truth, verse 15, we're to grow up in all aspects into him who's the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. Every single one of you have a role by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Every single one of you have a role in the kingdom. Every single one of you have a role, have a purpose in the church, in the body of Christ. Think about Vacation Bible School. We pull off big VBSs. Why? Because we're rock stars? No. It's because you are rock stars. And you allow the Spirit of God to come and take over your life. Listen, notice this. VBS and trips and events and weddings and funerals and all of these things, those take a lot of work. Guess what? You just worked all week. You just went to the ball game. You just did everything else. And guess what? And on top of that, you came and said, I'll do whatever. Use me. Here I am, God. Use me. I'll serve. You ain't got to tell me what to do. I'll serve. I'll be your hands and feet. I'll hold doors. I'll park cars. I'll bring water. You ain't got to be told to bring somebody water. You just do it. What the body of Christ does, they serve, they minister. Not none of this. Well, nobody told me to. Well, there's people in need. What would you do in that situation? You just meet it. That's what the body of Christ does. That's what this body does. We do it corporately together, and the beauty of it is what we do here, we grow up in all aspects. We do it out there too. We serve, we minister, we love. We're the hands and feet of Jesus wherever God sends us. Turn over, look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. Look here. Church, what a gift it is to be called the church. What a gift it is to be called the body of Christ. What a gift it is to have been grafted in, to be made. You're no longer an enemy of God. You're a child of God. You're in the army of God. You're a soldier in the army of God. Do not be lazy. Don't sit around and say somebody else has got to do it. Don't sit around and say, I can't wait to heaven. I'm going to live like the world today and wait on heaven. That's not who he saved you to be. That's the old man. That's the old self. That's who you used to be, but you've grown up. You've matured, and now you're, hey, Lord, how do you want me to be used today? God, how can I be used in your kingdom? God, what do you want me to do? Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. This is how we're to carry ourselves, church. But to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. There's nobody slipped through. You hear that? God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as, verse 4, for just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We're not to think we're better than each other. Each one of us has a role to do and we're all in this thing together. Nobody's better than the next. Nobody's more important. Nobody's got a closer seat to God than the next. We're all saved by grace, period, through faith. And we walk humbly, loving one another and serving one another. Since we have, verse 6, gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, look at this. Look at this. This is one of those things that immature Christians miss. Are you a mature Christian? You get this. If you're immature, you could. Here's what an immature Christian does. He hears it. I know I ought to do better, but I ain't. I would go so far as to say, question your salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You hear the word. You come in here. You get you a little high. I need a little Jesus. I've been living. I've been drifting. I've been out in the world. I've been chasing everything but the word. I just need to walk back in here and get me a little shot. That's not right. You can't do that. That's immature. God don't work like that. You think he hadn't saw the rest of the time? You think he's, I'm going to show up, I'm going to put my pretty stuff on, I'm going to bring my Bible, looked at like the rest. You're not fool. You can fool me all day long because I'm going to stand back here at the back door and do what I do to everybody else. Hey, good morning. You got your attaboy. I saw you. That's it. Whoa, woo. How's that feel? How's that feel? Because you ain't getting in from God. Immature ones will sit there and say, what's he talking about? Believers are sitting there saying, Lord God, please, please help me. God, I want my life to count. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to just show up and get the applause of men. God, I want my life to matter for you. God, you saved me and you brought me in and you died on the cross for me, and I want my life to count, and I want every aspect of who I am to make a difference in the lives of every person I see, and I don't want to simply go through motions. The Bible says, Paul writes here to the Romans and says, hey, each one of you, without exception, has been given something. Look at 6. Since we have gifts that differ, you can't all stand up here. You can't all sing. You can't all play those things, whatever those things are. But you have something. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Like, I could stop right now and say, are you exercising your gift accordingly? Are you? Why did he save you? Why did he graft you in? Why did he make you part of the family? What's your role in the kingdom? What are you doing? Why are you here? What are you doing for the kingdom? And here's the thing. You know the answer and God knows the answer. Because what you do publicly, honestly, here's the deal. Y'all see me, what, a few hours a week? I live before an audience of one, not you. You see him, what, a couple of hours a week? We rock stars for moments. We can all be a rock star for a moment. But when we're growing up and when we're maturing in every aspect of who we are, those moments when the crowd isn't watching, those moments when coworkers, when spouses, when children, when parents aren't watching, that's who we are. And that's where God sees us when nobody sees us. Mature believers like, Lord God, help me there, God. I don't want to waste time. An immature believer is like, is he done yet? An immature believer sitting there saying, I hope he's listening. I hope she's listening. An immature believer is honestly chasing every distraction in the room. Every cough, every wiggle, every move. Sitting there playing, sitting there writing, sitting there gibbling, sitting there daydreaming, sitting there playing a game, just off in la-la land. Waiting on me to walk down and for him to walk up and it to all end. Guys, this is a gift. This is a gift. We shouldn't want this to end. We should be like, let's keep going. Because when I walk out them doors, I mess up. But when I'm here, if you walk over there, doggone, I'm going to listen to what you say over there. And if you walk over there, I'm going to listen to what you say over there. And when you say sing, doggone, I'm going to sing it. But when I walk out there, it's like I start drifting again. God, and an immature believer's like, I don't care if I drift. But a Christian's like, God, don't help me drift. It breaks our heart when we start drifting. It breaks our heart how we act the rest of the time. It breaks our heart because we're out there. We're like, Lord, why can't I listen to you there like I listen to you in there? Why don't I, God, help me? Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, in service, in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Go with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning in verse 14. Let the word of God speak to you. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it's not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Listen to this, church. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, to the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, given more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there be no division in the body, but that the members, listen to this, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church, back to where we started, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. And I show you still a more excellent way. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak in tongues, listen, church. What's the glue? What brings unity? What brings oneness? What makes this whole thing work when we think, when we don't think ourselves are better than anybody else, when we walk humbly before our God, when we live in such a way that we put others first. Look at this. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. If we speak with tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love. Listen, church. Bible says I am nothing. What's the glue? Where does it start? What keeps it together? It's love. And look at this. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burnt, but do not have love, look at this, it profits me nothing. Love's what puts you in this thing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, and that was us, whosoever believes, that was us, we believed in him, would not perish, praise God, but have everlasting life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We're blessed to be here. You're blessed to be a part of a body. You're blessed to be in the kingdom. You're blessed to be a part of his. You're his workmanship. You are his workmanship. If you've trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, remember what I said at the very beginning. If you're a Christian, this is for you. But if you're not, listen, if you're not, you're not part of the body. You're still a whosoever, but you're not part of the body. You're not grafted in yet. You've not been redeemed yet. You're still living in your sin. The wrath of God was poured out. It's going to be poured out again. The wrath of God was poured out on Christ there on Calvary. Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As the wrath of God is being poured out on him. The sin debt every one of us owe was paid, was poured out there on Calvary's tree. And Jesus drank the cup fully. The entire wrath, he drank it down completely. And he says, whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The will of the Father is that you believe in the Son. What's that other time, Brother Shannon? That other time is for those who reject Christ, who look at Jesus and say, I've got a better way. Who look at Jesus and hear his words and hear his truth and see his life and say, I know better than you do, God. You will experience the full wrath of God for all of eternity in a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm never dies. And you will be punished for your sin forever. Well, Shannon, I don't like talking about that. That's mean. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you hear that. Why would you reject that? Why would you turn against that? Why would you not surrender to that? Why would you, what possibly does this world have to offer that's so enticing for some, 80, 90, possibly 100 years that's more satisfying, that's worth giving up an eternity of a soul spent bearing the wrath of an almighty God? Look at this next verse. Love is patient. God's patient. And there's a lot of people who say, well, you know what? I got to do a few more things and then I'm going to get myself straight and then I'm going to come to the Lord. There's a lot of people that like drinking beer and drinking and smoking and partying and messing around and sexing around and everything else, watching stuff and doing stuff and playing games and acting a fool, they like that more than they say, I don't want to give it up. I just don't think I can give it up. Nobody knows the moment they're going to die. That party was fun, wasn't it? All of eternity to suffer for it. That lifestyle was great. People don't want to give up their lifestyle. People don't want to quit. People say, I just have so much fun. I want to give up my friends. I don't want to give up your friends. If your friends don't love Jesus, you don't need to be with them. Well, all my friends, they just ain't like this. They ain't that church-going bunch. Well, have you been telling them about Jesus? No, because you're probably an immature believer that hides out and loves to drink and party and run around and hang out and do all that other junk. It's fun. And here you are. You're straddling the fence. This is you. I'm here with you, preacher. For how many hours? A week? And this is you. You are knee-deep in the world. I would go further and I'd break a hip. Yeah, hip deep in the world. And it's funny. It's funny. Preacher's funny. And there's a lot of folks who'll pay what I've just said more attention and you'll go out and say, preacher talked about drinking. No, he didn't. You're a fool. I ain't scared of none of you. Because your souls matter more than your opinions of my words. What profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? You are going to die and bust hell wide open if you don't surrender to Jesus. I love you with all of my heart in the limited knowing about you that I know. Your soul is worth saving. And Jesus came to give you hope. Please surrender. I beg you. Father God, what a gift it is to be a part of the church. What a gift it is to be a part of the family. What a gift it is to be a part of your kingdom. What an absolute gift it is to have been made one of your sons and one of your daughters. What a gift it is to be free. What a gift it is to not have your wrath and not to worry about the punishment. To know that we're free. To know that there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. What an absolute freeing gift to know that we are free to live. We are free to serve. We are free to be your hands and your feet. What a holy, 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 amazing thought. God, why would anybody reject that? Why would anybody not want that? Why would anybody run from that? Why would anybody say this world has more shiny things than that? How would anybody say that there's something better than that? Holy Spirit of God, I pray that if there's somebody saying that, that God, right now, at this very moment, they would stop and they would repent and say, God, I'm sorry for running. I'm sorry for believing a lie. I'm sorry for thinking that there's something better than Jesus. I, by faith, receive Christ and the forgiveness that is only given by Him. I repent of my sins. I ask you to come into my life and save me. Save me, Jesus. I surrender everything. From this day forward, I want to live for you. From this day forward, I am yours. My life is solely, fully yours. I am fully surrendered. I am fully yours, God. I am whosoever, and I trust in you, and I believe that you've saved me. God, I thank you for putting me into the family. I thank you for bringing me into your kingdom. I thank you for, God, I pray that you would use me in whatever way, God, that you see fit. God, I surrender my life to you. Use me, God, in your kingdom for your glory and your great namesake alone. Do that, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.